Welcome to the Gift to Giving Life podcast, and I'm so excited to have a special guest today. I'm going to read his bio, and that will explain why he's here. Edward Diganji was adopted at birth in New York City. An only child, he made no effort to explore his heredity until, at age 69, a visit to a cemetery where members of his adoptive mother's family were buried stirred his interest. Over the past 3 years, through extensive archival research and DNA testing, Ed has peeled back the layers of his once unknown family. Ed and his wife, Linda, live in Hillsboro, North Carolina. Their son, James, and his wife, Renee, live in nearby Durham. Ed, I was surprised when you reached out to me. Not really, but I have a link where people can reach out. And then I was like, oh, this is fun because I've never had a man on this particular podcast before. But I was really intrigued with what you shared. And I did have a chance to read through a little bit of your book, not the whole thing, but it definitely seems like a good story to share on the podcast.
It doesn't surprise me. I'm the only man who's reached out. I've listened to several of the episodes on your podcast, and I realize that I'm a kind of an outlier there. I first got attracted to the podcast simply because you addressed the gift of giving birth, and the name of my book is The Gift Best Given. And I think essentially we're talking about the same thing when all is said and done.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your story and how it is that you came to decide to try and find out about your birth mother and the path that took you on?
Yeah, it's actually a very interesting story. And as you said, I waited until I was almost 69 years old to pursue learning the identity of the woman who had placed me for birth. I was very much blessed by the fact that she took a very active interest in with whom I would be placed. These days, in modern days, birth mothers very often interact with the adoptive parents to make sure that they're comfortable with the fit. Back at the time that I was adopted, and this is 1948, it was in the midst of what people call the baby scoop era. And typically, women didn't get those choices. They were young women who unexpectedly became pregnant, were shipped off someplace to in privacy or shaming relatives and themselves, give birth and then give up their children, not knowing where those children would ultimately land. But my mother was gifted by her profession and resources. So she managed her pregnancy and she then managed the adoption pretty much on her own, and she did it in secret. What I had always expected to find when I finally started to look was a typical high school girl who had an accident, unfortunately became pregnant, and then went through that process I addressed. What I actually found as I did my research was that my mother was unmarried, but she was 23 years old. And I found that she had been a celebrity ice skater, a celebrity performer in the big ice skating shows that were so popular in the 1940s and the 1950s. Having the resources and having her eldest sister, basically, was her sole contact, the sister and her sister's husband. And they got her in touch with a doctor and a hospital who cater to people in the public eye who needed discretion and some level of privacy. And she just pursued the entire process from November of 1947, when she confirmed that she was pregnant, through my birth in May of 1948, fully in secret, with the exception of her eldest sister and her sister's husband.
Wow. Wow. So what intrigues me, because I haven't read the whole book yet, so I'm so curious. I know that you learned a lot of this through like ancestry, through doing your DNA and records and things such as that. So when you started this search, like how did you find all this out?
I was very fortunate that to start with, I became curious, as you mentioned in my bio, that I had been standing over the grave of my adoptive mother's parents. And I just finished reading a book called The Lost, which told about an author's search for what had happened to six of his distant relatives during the Holocaust. And he knew that they had perished under the worst of circumstances, but he wanted to know specifically what happened to those six people. And he embarked on a journey that took him all over the world. And the book was very interesting to me, and it was inspiring to me. It was part mystery, part genealogy, and part a lesson in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. And I had read it. I was probably reading it the third time as we stood over that gravestone. And it just made me curious. So I said, I'll go back to our local library. I'll get on Ancestry, and I will start trying to learn the path that brought my adoptive grandparents to the United States. And as I began doing that, and I realized that it was a fairly simple process, giving some basic information, it suddenly clicked with me that, okay, you've always known you've been adopted. You've never chosen, it's never been important to really pursue who your birth parents were. But if it's this easy, maybe now is the time. And I was very fortunate. As I said, my birth mother arranged my adoption privately, so I did not go into the social services system. So I had a document. My adoptive parents had saved my adoption decree. And I had looked at it a couple of times over the years when I was very young, and I saw their names on it. I saw the names of their attorney, and I saw the name of one other person I did not recognize. And as I was sitting over Ancestry, I said, that one other name has to be my birth mother. So I got hold of that piece of paper, wrote down the name, went back to Ancestry, plugged it in, and that's where this wild ride really all began.
Wow. Wow. That's really amazing. I love it. I love that you had this little inspiration. You're like, wait, if it's this easy to learn about my adoptive grandparents, then yeah, I could probably just put my birth mother's name in and find things out. And what did learning about your birth mother do? Like, how has that changed you?
They say all the time that if you would ask me that question before I did this search, before I wrote my book, and asked me, what is adoption all about? I would have addressed adoption as a one-time event where a mother gives birth to a child, hands that child over to other parents or to a system, and then goes on with their life. And, you know, what I really learned from it, what I took away from it is what a birth mother truly goes through. Number one, in making the decision to surrender a child. Number two, the emotions that surround the actual act of giving birth and then either never seeing that child once it's born or having the one fleeting glance and then moving on. And the piece that I really, truly got the new feeling about is that experience does not get forgotten. Mm-hmm. I believe that a birth mother carries that for years, if not the rest of their life in some form. And that's just given me such a deep appreciation for, you know, my birth mother gave me a true gift, and she was able to take charge of the process. Not every woman is, but I think in their own way, every woman is carrying that same burden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Here's a question I'm so curious about. How did you then find out all this? Was all this information that you learned about your birth mother like on Ancestry, or did you end up connecting with her or with her sister? I don't know. Like, how do you know all the details?
Yeah, it's not a simple journey. What I did ultimately find out, and that it did not take too long, was that my birth mother was no longer alive.
Okay.
Sadly, she had passed away in 2014. Mm-hmm. I had begun my search in 2017. But the most complicated part of the journey really was I had that first piece of paper, and it gave her birth name, her family's last name. And I Googled for that, and I found one other person, similar age, not quite the same, elsewhere in the United States. And so I looked at the two of them. So one was very close to where I was born and brought home by my adoptive parents. I said, that must be the one. But it dead ended there. But then I It went into Ancestry. There were a list of things, and the obvious things, census records, some family records. But what I saw there was a visa application for this person traveling from Miami, Florida to Rio de Janeiro 10 months after the date of my birth. And I said, okay, that's probably the person, but I was really perplexed as to why she would be doing what she was doing. I clicked on that record, and again, the information there confirmed that it was the same person. It listed her as profession, and this record was all written in Portuguese.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which didn't make it any easier, but it listed her profession as an artista. And so that was, gee, I wonder what kind of an artist she was. And then the real earth shaker was this application had her picture on it. So I was sitting in the library with Ancestry open in front of me, looking at the woman who had given birth to me at 23 years old. Yeah. And that was really kind of it was an emotional moment. It was not a frightening thing, not a tear-wrenching thing, but it's there she is. Mm. And it was the first glance I had at her. I worked through that list of records. The next thing I found was a marriage license for her, which she was married 7 years after my birth.
Okay.
So she had been single and unmarried when I was conceived. And I opened that up, and it listed her name with that birth name, plus a stage name I found she had assumed, plus her husband's name. So now I had much more material to start Googling with. And Google is probably the greatest resource we have. It may not give you all the answers, but it will take you to some place that will give you the answers or lead you to them. So I plugged in her married name and a blog from an antiques dealer in South Carolina came up. This dealer in South Carolina had attended an auction with a coworker, and they purchased a lot of folk art objects or objects that were sold as folk art that my mother and her future husband had manufactured. And it explained that the two of them had been ice skaters during the 1940s and the 1950s. They retired to Georgia and they formed a company that manufactured props for the ice skating shows, for theatrical events, for commercial venues. And several of the items in this auction were items that they had manufactured. And what that gave me then is at least told me what kind of an artista she had been. It showed that she had been a performer. So again, I went and I Googled under Genevieve Meza performer, didn't get anything back. And then I took her stage name, Googled that, and another blog popped up.
Wow.
From another antique dealer who had been at the same auction in 2012 in Georgia and had purchased a box of memorabilia, just a carton. Mm-hmm. And the first piece that was so interesting was there were half photographs of my mom, mm-hmm. promotional photos, but there was a copy of her first professional contract. There was a picture of her middle school diploma. And the blog then explained that she had been an ice skater in the 1940s and the 1950s. So I did was got back onto Facebook and I tracked down the antiques dealer. Mm-hmm. And I assumed that with the five intervening years, they had purchased these items and then sold them off. And I wrote her a message and said, I'm just exploring a possible family relationship. By any chance, do you have any of these items still in your possession? And very quickly, she responded to me and said, yes, I've got all of them.
Wow.
But I'm very busy. I will call you back. And I sat there looking at the telephone. And about a week later, when the phone had not rung, I sent her a message and I said, that I contacted you a week ago. I said I was looking for a possible family relationship. In truth, these are all things that belong to my birth mother. I was adopted. Mm-hmm. And she called back in 3 minutes. And she said, I am just so sorry. She said, I totally forgot that we had spoken. But she said, but you need to come here right now. I said, I don't know if we can be there right now, but we will come down. Probably only about a week or so later, we drove from North Carolina down to Georgia.
Uh-huh.
And she and her husband brought that same carton with them to our hotel, and we went through them item by item, and that was an emotional experience.
Oh, yeah. What a gift. What an amazing serendipitous thing that you were able to find that.
I have used that word serendipity just over and over. It's been serendipity and it's been generosity from the people who I've contacted. I think the greatest generosity came. There were a stack of photographs in the carton of other ice skaters, and each of them was autographed, and each of them had a message to my birth mother. Mm-hmm. And I was starting to write down the names of those people because I thought if I could find one of them, maybe they could tell me more about my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they might know something about who my father was and what the circumstances were. And as I began writing down the names of these women, the antiques dealer's husband looked at me curiously and asked me what I was doing and why, and I explained it. And he just shook his head no, and he pushed the carton toward me. He said, "This all belongs to you. We've just been holding it for you."
Aww. Aww.
And that was just such a kind thing. It was just such a wonderful thing. And from there, from what was in there, I learned much more about her history and raised her travels from the time that she left home in 1942. Now, this was the middle of World War II. Mm-hmm. She was living just outside New York City, and she was 17 years old.
Wow.
And her parents took her to Grand Central Station, let her get on a train, and she traveled across the country by train alone to join an ice skating troupe in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Wow.
And when she traveled the United States for the ensuing years until she came back to New York unexpectedly pregnant, mm-hmm. and then just hid out for 5 months until she could deliver a baby. Mm-hmm. And I've been fortunate in that I have located a maternal half-brother, so her son, who was the result of her marriage in 1955.
Okay.
And he was a hard sell trying to explain to him that he and I were brothers. He just did not want to believe that his mother could possibly have done what she did.
Right.
And we eventually solved that. I eventually showed him the piece of paper with his mother's signature on it. And it was a very distinctive handwriting. He knew that and he was okay.
Yeah.
I've met three maternal full cousins.
Wow.
And my questions of them, because I knew at that point, if my brother didn't know, his mother never said anything. I talked to the cousins because she had the two older sisters and an older brother. And each time I met one of them, I said, "What did you know about my adoption?" And each one would shake their head no and said, nobody ever knew. If anybody in this family knew, everyone would have known about it. So they said it was a secret. And I believe that. I don't believe mm-hmm. that her parents ever knew. I don't even believe her husband ever knew.
Yeah, wow.
But they helped me. One cousin in particular was the son of the husband of the eldest sister who had helped. Who helped my mother through this entire process. Mm-hmm. And the first thing he said is my father had a very, very strong paternal interest in your mother. He was actually 16 years older than she was. He said he was just so protective of her mm-hmm. and always worried about her well-being. So it made sense that he took such an active role.
Yes.
She was faced with difficult decisions when she found she was pregnant. She was brought to a hospital that could offer her discreet care. No, because we found out later that a doctor who I knew later in my childhood actually was our next door neighbor, but he signed my birth certificate. And that's the one piece of the story I've not yet connected.
Interesting.
But we know, even though it was 1948, that the opportunity to terminate the pregnancy was offered to her. Mm. And just given her values, given her religious upbringing, she came from a very conservative Roman Catholic Polish. That was not an option for her. So what was facing her then was I'm going to have a baby. What do I do with the baby? And she had a career. So she was faced with the decision of what do I do about my career, which I'm sure faced her with would it be a selfish thing or be perceived as selfish if I were to relinquish my baby and then continue my career? And that was the gift that was originally given to me. And now I've got this other gift to deal with. And or I could go home and I'm going to bring shame to my family, possibly be disowned by my family. And I have no other way of making money. Not at the moment. She ultimately made the decision, and I write about it in the book. On an Easter Sunday, she went to a Catholic church, the Easter Sunday Mass, and the liturgy was the book of St. John, and there was a piece about my decisions are clear, and the Lord is with me. And I think at that point she knew it mm-hmm. led her to, I'll have power behind me, no matter what it is I choose to do. And she made very clear decisions about who the people who adopted me should be mm-hmm. and what they should be able to offer me, and remarkably gave me everything that, you know, that she wanted. You know, so I was blessed with the fact that she was that concerned and that devoted to where I wound up, and remarkably blessed that two people who could not have a child appeared and gave me every one of those things.
Right. There's so many gifts in there, right? Your birth mother, the gift of choosing to have you, and then choosing to give you to this adoptive family. So then you were a gift to them. And then I just love how it came full circle, that when you were inspired to learn about her and to learn her story, then you could see that gift. And then, okay, so here's my last question, but what inspired you to write a book about all of this? Because then that becomes a gift to everybody that reads it.
Yes, yeah. And I get that asked all the time. I had a very good friend here just, 2 days ago. She came for dinner. It's somebody I've known for 50 years. And she said, why did you pick the name of that book? And she said, actually, why did you write a book? I was going to a memoir writing group at a local library, which met once a month. And when I decided that I would start to search, I thought, let me at least record what I'm doing in the process of my search. And as more came to me in terms of answers, I started writing more, until one day I was sitting with a fairly good stack of paper. And then still more started to reveal itself about my mother's life and that whole decision process she had gone through. And I began to write about that. And finally, I had two piles of paper, mm-hmm. one which was the search and the other was my mother. And I wouldn't say it just magically became a book. Certainly there was the skeleton of a book there. And my wife was very supportive of that idea. I had a friend who is an author who kept on saying, if you keep finding this stuff, you need to write a book. And he was more curious about the ice skating component than about the emotional and the mothering part of it. But between my wife and his encouragement, I started to take an active interest in, let me flesh out each of these pieces that I've written so far. Let me see how they tie together. And let me see what it all leads to. And 350 pages later, here we are.
Wow. Would you say that writing the book has helped you, like, process things? Do you think writing the book has helped you in a way that if you hadn't written the book?
I think it's enriched me because it's made me look more broadly at some things. I was never one of the people who pondered his adoption and wondered why and who would do that to me. As I said, I had a very, very good childhood, a good life. So I never gave it an awful lot of thought, but it gave me a much broader perspective, as I said, on birth mothers in specific, but on adoption in general. And I've learned a great deal because in bringing the book out to the public, I've become more involved with quote unquote the adoption community, and I found out how varied the experiences are for each and every person. And there are some people like myself, and they're probably a very quiet part of the community, who had very good lives and benefited from where they were. There are other people who didn't have those good lives and are still searching for answers. And some of them very much pained by the experience. So it's given me I can't say, having never been pained, I don't know what it feels like, but I understand where that comes from now.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your experience and telling us about your book. And in the show notes, I'll link to where they can get the book and how they can contact you. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we finish recording today?
I profoundly admire mothers. I think from start to finish, they are very special people. And I don't think they ever lose their attachment with their children. I know my mother didn't. I know my wife she lives and breathes for my son, who's now 31 years old. And thank you for what you do. And in talking about the gift of birth and all that it entails.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate being able to talk to you today and hear more about your story.
Sheridan, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Awesome.
Thanks for joining us today. If you have an experience that you want to share about the spirituality of pregnancy or birth, please contact us. We love having guests on the podcast, or if you prefer to just write up your experience, we are happy to share it on our blog or on Instagram. And also, please share the podcast with your friends. This is how the word gets out that birth and pregnancy can be spiritual. The podcast and our book is one of the greatest ways to share that, as well as, of course, you sharing your experiences with your friends. Visit thegiftofgivinglife.com. Currently, our newsletter subscribers get free access to our online class, which is growing. And if you want more inspiration, of course, you can always buy The Gift of Giving Life on Amazon, either for yourself or it makes a great gift for any woman you know. Have a great week and know that you are loved.